Well, this is it. We've come to the end of Psalm 23. Susan closed us out last month, and it was fantastic. And it got brought to my attention that aside from being obviously hilarious and good at icebreakers, you guys don't know me really yet. And so I figured I would bring you into a little bit about what Psalm 23 did for me this season of the gathering. And then we'll do some reflective time. Morgan's got a Lectio Divina activity. So our family underwent some pretty major changes prior to this gathering season, actually. We were small business owners for nearly 5 years before this. We operated our own in-home care company, and we did medical cares for disabled individuals, either physical or intellectual. And it was mainly my husband who did it. And then we were presented with a new financial opportunity in a very completely unrelated field that had the opposite of anything to do with in-home care and medical cares and just and being one-on-one in that capacity. This also required a brand new license and basically a new education for my husband. And so while he basically went back to school and also worked full-time in the new field to get used to it, our family just sort of hustled along beside him, which was just kind of the direction we were led in. This was also the time when we were blessed with a pregnancy that would balance out our family of four and turn us into a family of five, and then also hit with just all the little things that come up specifically related to, like, appliances that need fixed and cars that decide not to work and all just those life things that happen. And all the while, I had really honestly never felt peace with some of the decisions that were just kind of being made around us. Like, my husband's work didn't feel like peaceful to me, and I was just struggling really hard, but he had this like clear direction from God. Like, he had very clear peace about it. So I was just like, okay. And like, we love baby Susie, and three is a lot. And those mixed emotions that some people go through around, like, we're expanding, and what does this mean, and how does this look? There was just not a ton of peace on my end. I was feeling pretty tossed overboard, actually, if we're being honest. Treading water through some rough seas, very much feeling at the mercy of the wind and the waves and just keeping my head above water while also stretching every dollar as far as it could go and growing humans, one human. So we get licensed. My husband gets licensed, and our family just sings this hallelujah, right? Because the doors that were opened for him being able to work a more regular schedule. Anybody in here who's a small business owner or has their income based on that just knows it's a hustle and a grind, and if you're not working, you're not earning. And the idea that our family got weekends off and holidays and a healthcare plan and all these things was just pretty much a game changer. Like, the benefits just outweighed it. And then we ended up being gifted a vehicle from my side of the family right around Mother's Day, which I realized as I was writing some of this out is just about a year ago, but it was just this amazing, like, when I say that I hit my knees in my front yard and my neighbors looked at me weird, I'm not kidding, because I did. It was just phenomenal. And then we had baby Susie in June. And the beauty of her is not only being a girl, because she came into a family of a lot of boys. There's just so many boys in her family, but there was also no pandemic this time when I welcomed a baby into the world, which meant that I got help, which was fantastic. And people got to meet her before she was 5 months old and drop off meals. And it was just a much better way to do pregnancy. Hands down. And of course, life just keeps going, right? Except for finances, man. Finances. Pesky finances. See, because it turns out that getting the license was going to be the easiest part of the job and this career change, because the firm that my husband would get recruited to and asked to join, it was going to undergo a major leadership change and cease to exist less than 6 months after he was licensed with no, sight. Our family is once again in the void of the unknown. We had listened and done what we thought we'd been called to, and we had done the grind, and we had done the rough seas, and we had done the water and held up our heads and our hands, and what was going on? So being in a leadership role here means that I'm part of a team, and so we bond together as that team. And I walked into that summer retreat, like, just exhausted. Just exhausted. New baby, who came with me, by the way. I'm going into this year's retreat like, I don't even know, because I got nothing coming with me. It's just me. It's fantastic. But also just like new body and new sleep habits and new stresses and new anxieties and worries and fears. But the same God. And I honestly couldn't imagine the ways God was about to meet me starting in August and leading to what was the gathering season that we just are now wrapping up today. Because see, what you all didn't know is that this gathering season was actually all about me. I know, yeah, I know. You all thought it was about you. Nope, I had dibs the whole time. You all got to be chorus members in the production of Psalm 23 that God was staging just for me. Bet you didn't expect that to happen. Yes, ma'am, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He opened up this production of Psalm 23 with verse 1 and Jen Roth, and I'm going to read it for you. Psalm 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. It's like literally the cornerstone of this whole idea. That's it. Close the book. David pulls zero punches. He hit me with a KO immediately as I was forced to reconcile whom I had actually been making my shepherd over the last year, year and a half. Where was my focus? Outward or upward? Embarrassingly, I can answer that it was outward and a little bit somewhat inward, because I had decided to take control over so much of the situation that we had found ourselves in. I had been comparing what I expected to happen versus what God actually had planned for me and the rest of my family. I wasn't looking at it and saying, thank you, Lord, I do have all that I need. I was looking at it and saying, yeah, you missed a spot. The Lord revealed my jealous and ungrateful attitude and invited me to experience his goodness as my shepherd, to leave the navigating up to him and to enjoy what our life as our new family did actually look like in all of his glory, rather than fearing for the future and worrying about my own. He leads us with security and safety, and I am welcome and encouraged to rest in that, which is what brought in Act 2. Psalm 23:2, and Barbara Fletcher. He leads me, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. The importance of rest. Yeah, okay. So not only was he making the way for me to rest, he was basically requiring it. Let me just say, as a new mom of an infant and other children in the home, hearing how important rest is makes my eyes roll so far back into my head. Like, yeah, I know, that sounds fantastic, but unless you mean bathwater or a rainy peewee football game next to that green pasture, it's not gonna happen, bro. Sorry. Although through the wisdom of Barbara Fletcher, because let's be honest, and she's not even here and I was gonna talk about her, that's okay. The Lord spoke permission over me to release what lies I thought rest meant. We read so much about the importance of quiet and space and the morning devotional time and the sitting on your own and all of this lovely and wonderful things that I hope happens for each and every one of you if that is how you connect with the Lord. I want you to have all of it. But rest also to me means trust and safety. To rest is a very vulnerable place for the sheep to be. They close their eyes, fully unaware of potential dangers around them as they gain physical sleep. They trust the shepherd to protect them and then keep the dangers away. And that is where the Lord would direct me. He was inviting me to release my fears and worries and burdens to him. I can be comforted by him as I rest so that my soul can feel refreshed. And sometimes that looks like a morning devotional time with coffee before everyone is awake. Did not today, but it does. And sometimes it looks like breath prayers in the car as I'm going to school drop-off and then to music class and then to story time and then back home again. And sometimes it looks like date night with my husband where we just get to be Justin and Lydia again and we're not mom and dad and we're not worker bees and there's not a whole lot that's expected of us. What a relief to know that I was not failing at resting. Our green pastures all look different. What doesn't change is the presence of the shepherd as our protector standing while we recharge. And his encouragement to do it, like literally rest. Whatever that looks like to you, just Nike slogan the crap out of it and do it. It's essential to him. Flocks cannot move if they are tired or irritable or hungry. They cannot focus on anything else besides those basic needs. So, okay, all right, Lord, I'll rest. And that, friends, is where the intermission came in, because you guys did Psalm 23:3. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his namesake. And the Lord took rest literally, and I was so sick that I wasn't even here. I couldn't function. And that's when you all got the full attention of God and Morgan. Lucky you. Finally, a gathering where the Lord had a message for you and not just for me. Morgan's message was all about our need for healing and restoration through Jesus, and that sometimes our deepest areas of pain can lead us to have the highest impact for the kingdom. And when we follow Jesus and allow him to restore those areas of pain or hardship, we gain hope and security. And then several of you were able to share your own beautiful stories of redemption through cardboard testimonies, and the glory of God got to be witnessed right here in this very room. And I'm really upset that I missed that night because I heard it was amazing and beautiful. What a gift. So Act 3 features the message from Laura Goodenough in Psalm 23:4. Even though I go through the darkest valleys, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. See, if the first two verses were the lights out punch, this one was a swift kick from behind to the side just for good measure. I felt like I was literally going through a dark valley, and there was no reception. Seriously, the reality of potentially being paycheckless was quickly approaching, and our savings had already dwindled from the previous year's needs. We took a pretty significant pay cut to start this venture in the first place, and so we were already relying on a lot of that money that had now disappeared. And of course, kids still need to eat. And heat is still needs to come on because it's February. And cars still need gas. And mortgages still need to be paid. And I never thought that I would find myself in a position to make contingency plans on potentially being homeless with three kids. Never. I was not raised like this. I mean, sure, we might lose like water or cable, but that's because I was raised by a single dad and there was no auto pay. And the man just did not always have it together. Of course, always faithful, the Lord showed up through Laura, who shared her own journey of how career change and family life shaped them. David doesn't just leave this passage with, I go through the dark valleys and you meet me once I'm done, or you wait at the end. He highlights that we are never alone in the darkness. And if anyone knew about dark valleys, it's David. The dude lived in the wilderness, fearing for his life at one point, a literal dark valley. And through it all, he writes, he is with us. The gentle brush of his rod or staff keeps us secure. And I have nothing to fear, even if we lose our house, even if the job doesn't come through, even if something medical pops up, even if, go ahead and insert your own here, I will not fear. And friends, for the first time in I don't really know how long, I'm estimating about 18 months, I felt peace. Don't ask me why it took me so long. And it didn't even come at the end of Psalm 23. We've still got two verses to go. It's in the middle. But this great peace that I can fear no danger, because he is with me. He's got me. He's got my family, and he's got each of these women sitting before me right now. We can live in freedom and fear no danger. Because Kari Mlynarczyk would highlight the next act in this production with Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And she would have us list out all of our enemies that surrounded our table. And we all confronted some of these enemies that come at us every day, like anxiety and health scares and loss of independence and loss of relationships and childlessness, financial burdens, parenting struggles, marital struggles, mental health struggles. If you were here, I'm sure you had a bunch that you listed. And then we listed what blessings the Lord had provided on our table so that the enemies could see them. Now, I'm sure you all knew this from the very beginning of my talk when I listed all the ways in which our family had actually been blessed in the beginning, with passing a licensing exam, with a healthy baby, with a car that would carry all of our family. And most of you probably saw what I just couldn't see at the time, which were the blessings. A little louder for myself, but there were all these blessings. And in my own humanness, I was hindered by the unseen, and I was missing what was seen. Here they all were, brought to the light. My cup was quite literally overflowing. The Lord in his goodness, thankfully, didn't bring about feelings of shame or embarrassment when I had this revelation, although he had plenty of reason to. Instead, he brought gratitude, something I hadn't done a good job of expressing. Even as I was writing out my sort of talk for tonight and all that, I am overwhelmed with gratitude of having to tell a very healthy, very happy, very silly 4-year-old to please leave mommy alone so she can finish. Like, seriously, that's a huge blessing. How many people wish they had kids that they had to tell to leave them alone? So I've now walked away from Psalm 23 with peace and gratitude, and I'm totally on a roll. And like the measures of the last song in a musical, like the big finale when the music swells, Susan Garlinger comes and closes out Psalm 23 with Psalm 23:6. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Just sit there for a minute. We will dwell there with God, sitting next to Jesus, all the days of our life. And I love that Susan pointed out that David wrote this psalm without knowing the end of the story. It would be years and years before Jesus would walk this earth, and even further to the crucifixion and resurrection. And yet he knew there is hope. Everlasting hope. David knew that the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, and now you're singing it, you're welcome, would be with him until the end and beyond. I read a piece of a devotional recently that I wanted to share with you, and it says that plenty does not equal prosperity just as want does not equal poverty. For the believer in Christ, plenty and want are both constant states of being. Yes, we have real earthly struggles. Those do not go away. But beyond the surface, in light of eternity, our constant state is a want of grace, and God is our constant supplier. Let us give thanks for that. Let us sing 1,000 hallelujahs. And I did a lot of worship songs while I was writing this, so I'm really sorry. But 1,000 hallelujahs that his love and mercy and goodness and grace pursue us. Not just that we have them bestowed upon us, but that as the troubles and the wants come our way, the poverties of life, we are constantly pursued by his love. And Susan gave a great visual of this about a guy who followed her around a grocery store and then took her shopping list off of her backside because it was a post-it note. Aside from creepy stalker vibes, what could be better than that type of pursuit from our great Heavenly Father? And that was when the lights go out and the curtain dropped, and me, of course, being the only member of this audience, just leapt up to my feet and applauded. As they say, end scene, mic drop. I came into this gathering season so exhausted, so terrified, lost, desperate, grasping, and dare I say, slightly doubting. And I am leaving today refreshed, renewed, confident, hopeful, and so truly loved. Our circumstances as a family have not changed super significantly. However, my relationship with the creator of our circumstances has dramatically shifted. I no longer see seasons of radio silence as punishment, but invitations for deeper connection. I look for rest where I can get it, and we are grateful. Full stop. Psalm 23 revealed to me the heart of Jesus that I had been missing. I was coming to church. I was singing the songs. I was saying the prayers. I was repeating the scripture, but I was missing the heart. And without the heart, the body cannot function. There is no life. It dies. So I was missing the life of Jesus, and I didn't even know it. But because of the struggles of the last year or so, and the gathering this season, and Psalm 23, and the blood of Jesus, and the grace of God, this heart is made new again. I know we have not seen the last of our earthly troubles. This is a very earthly existence. We are human, all of that. But I thank God that his goodness and faithful love will pursue me evermore. And I am so grateful for that. I get to be a part of his flock and have him as my good shepherd so that I do truly have all that I need. So Morgan's going to come up, and she's going to lead us through Lectio Divina. And I hope that you all have the opportunity to really connect with Psalm 23 with different eyes than when you first maybe came into the gathering. Or maybe this is your first gathering, and I'm really sorry, and please come back next season, and we meet in October. But we're going to engage with Psalm 23 for the last time this season, and I hope and pray that this time you connect with our Good Shepherd as I did.
Thanks, Lydia. So can we just one more time give Lydia a thank you? She has led this team all year long. From food to worship to decor to handouts to the whole thing, Lydia has done an incredible job creating space for us to come and kind of experience Green Pastures here. And that's kind of been a hope for us this year. So we're going to kind of turn the corner, and we're going to go through an experience together called Lectio Divina. And if you have never heard of Lectio Divina or experienced it, Lectio Divina just means divine reading. And so it's a tool, it's a practice that we can do that we listen to scripture through the ears of our heart. So there's on your table is a printout of Psalm 23. And while you guys grab that, I'm going to take like 20 seconds to collect my thoughts because I left my notes up here when Lydia was up here, and so I got to figure out where I'm going. Okay. We're just going to take a moment before we get started, and just close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Quiet your heart. Turn your eyes to Jesus and ask him to speak. And I'm going to read, and I'm sure some of you have heard me read this, a small liturgy from this book, Every Moment Holy, to get started. But just go ahead and keep your eyes closed while I read. It's called To Begin a Purposeful Gathering. And so we are gathered here uniquely in all of history, we particular people in this singular time and place. Turn our hearts to the voice of your Spirit. Wake us to be present to you and to one another in these shared hours we are given. For it is you, O Lord, who have so gathered us from our various places, and you alone who know our hearts and our needs. Among us are some who arrive anxious, some who are lonely, some who suffer pain and sorrow. May we in our joys find grace to enter the sorrows of others. Among us are some who arrive rejoicing, hearts made light by good news, good health, glad anticipation. May we in our sorrows find grace to embrace the joys of others. Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to one another are precious and fleeting. Let us prize these moments and care for one another deeply, for each of us and our relationships to one another are precious and eternal. Breathe upon our gathering, O Spirit of God. Grant each of us a place to humbly receive and to faithfully serve, that we might know in this brief gathering a foretaste of the greater communion yet to come. O Father, enlarge our hearts. O Spirit, expand our vision. O Christ, establish your kingdom among us. Be at work even now, O Lord. May your will in us and these hours be accomplished. Amen. So if you've never done Lectio Divina, what we're going to do is I'm going to read through the scripture. You can read along. You can close your eyes. And I'm going to read through it, and I will give you a prompt, and then I'm going to give you some time to just reflect. So you can highlight, you can underline, you can make notes, you can kind of engage with this however you want. But the first time I read it through, and I'll read it through pretty slowly, you can ask Holy Spirit, what do you have to say to me today? So then you can pay attention to any words, any phrases, anything that stands out, and I'll give you some time to reflect. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So, Holy Spirit, what do you have to say to us today? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So now you can just spend some time reflecting on the word or the phrase that stood out. Let it sink in and let God speak to you through that word or phrase. So pay attention to any emotions, memories, images that pop up. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So you can move to responding in prayer to the word or the phrase or the emotion or the memory. Did a struggle or a longing, desire come up? Let his grace meet you there. Okay, we're going to spend a couple of minutes just around your table sharing your experience, whatever you're comfortable with. And as always in women's ministry, you can pass. You don't have to share, but you can share something that stood out to you, something that you heard God say to you. You can share a memory that popped up. But we're just going to spend a few minutes around your table sharing.
So that ends our gathering season, you guys. Thanks for engaging with us. Thank you for being a part of Psalm 23 with us. Reminders that Spring Bible Study starts next week, that the crafting circle is an option. There's just Morgan and I are mulling like women's events over the summer. Like, we are just super excited to continue to bring events for women to find community and feel connected. And I just want to thank you guys so much for being here and being faithful to the gathering. And so I hope you guys have a fantastic summer.